Okay, Jack. This is Jack Parker. Let's give him a round of applause. Welcome him here.
Yay!
Jack and Catherine were elders here and are still really awesome people. And for this series that we've been on, we've been asking people to share a little bit about why they came to the Vineyard. What was it about this place, this community, that drew them here? And so, Jack, you've been here a long time, quite a while, but why don't you, you can share what you have to share. Thanks.
I'm Jack Parker, and I'm a high school teacher. And if you had been teaching high school for 37 years, you'd be hoarse all the time, too. So just put up with me. This is the voice my students get every day in class. Poor guys. Anyhow, the first time I heard about the Vineyard Church, and this is the Vineyard beyond just this church, was some friends of ours out in BC. I found out they're involved with the Vineyard Church, the Signs and Wonders movement, and I said to myself, and even out loud, that is the last thing that we need in the kingdom of God. So wouldn't you know it, over the next several months, God started to draw me to this movement and to these friends and so forth. And next summer, there we were in their living room getting prayed for. And ever since then, I've been drawn to this whole movement of the Vineyard. So much so that when our little family went on vacations and we'd stop in a little motel somewhere, I'd get out the local phone book and say, is there a Vineyard church in this town? And if there was, let's see if we can get to a service and attend. And it just was, the factor of the drawing was twofold. One was the type of worship that went on here, went on in the Vineyard church. A worship that engaged us in relational connection with God, so that we'd be singing to God in the first person. You know, it would be us expressing our hearts, and that was very significant to me, and always has been ever since I became a follower of Jesus. And it was like a sense of when we gather to worship, it's like God's here and we are expressing our inward thoughts and love and adoration and praise to him. And it's very significant, and it touches the Father's heart. And then the second thing was an expression that we had and have in the Vineyard is that when we get together, there's an expectation that God shows up. And this is not to say that he's not here already and he's with us all the time and so forth, but that in a very special, tangible way, we expect God to come and touch us. And when we pray for each other and when we're prayed for, there is an expectation that God comes and meets us where we are and meets the need of our hearts and touches us and brings healing many times to the people that we're praying for or getting prayed for by. And this is an awesome thing. I don't know about you, but I need help. I need somebody who's big. I need a big God who's able to rescue me from the predicaments I get myself in, the situations. I need a big God because there's always health concerns in our lives and our families and so forth, and that we can come to a God who's big enough to deal with whatever we have and whatever we face. And so I'm excited about the Vineyard and about this whole movement, and I've been in here since... well, a long time anyway. Almost as long as I've been teaching. So thank you for listening to my little story.
Cool. There's a bunch of other people over the past month and a half or so that have shared similar stories, and they're all online, actually, so you can listen. On the beginning of just about every sermon, just before the sermon, we put those little sharing there so you can get to know some other folks in the community. Okay, who am I handing this off to? You, Kelly? Okay, so are you going to do an introduction of everybody, or should we just get everybody that's a Flatlander to stand up? You're going to, okay.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Oh, yeah, thanks. Come right up here to the front. Yeah. Sure, down. Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
So Andy said that it's Flatlander Sunday. And so welcome here to Flatlander Sunday. This is a morning where we learn about a community that lives on the second and third floor of this building. And that community is called Flatlanders Inn. So did all of you guys know that this is actually a home as well as a church? People know that? Yeah? Yeah, no? Most of you did know? I'm one of the people who lives here. That's been true for just over 5 years for me and my family, which includes my partner, Brendan, and our two kids who rarely come to church. I have two teenage kids. It's been true for a long time that they hardly ever come to church. But they do come home every once in a while and live upstairs. And so that's a great idea that Andy had. Anybody who would consider Flatlanders their home or has considered Flatlanders their home, that's you, Kenny Laquette, would you guys just stand up and, like, let's just see how many of the people that are here this morning would say, like, hey, I've lived in Flatlanders. I live in Flatlanders. It's been my home. It's been my community. Not everybody who would consider themselves a Flatlander has or does live there. You guys can all sit down now. But that's a number of us, hey? And I think everybody who stood up is folks who have lived in Flatlanders. Andy, who was singing this morning with Krista, is also a big part of our community because he serves on the leadership team. So that's a few of us, anyways. They're also talking about Flatlanders upstairs, so a lot of our community is up there, too. Cora, did you stand up because you're going to live in Flatlanders? You totally could have. That's exciting. It's always tricky on a Sunday morning when we talk about Flatlanders to know how to talk about it because some people are really familiar with it and either do or have lived there, and some people have never even heard of Flatlanders and don't even know that that there is such a place in this building. So it's always kind of like, what do we say? How do we engage everyone and not lose half the people because they know it all, or lose the other half because we're talking about things that they've never experienced? But anyways, this is how we're going to try and do it today. I'm going to give you a little map of how the morning's going to go. I'm going to describe a little bit more of what Flatlanders is, how it works. We're going to do an interview with one of the members of the leadership team, Adam, and talk about how his relationship to Flatlanders has evolved over the years. We've got a video of the Flatlanders kids to show you, which is really sweet, so get ready for laughter and lots of cuteness when that comes on. And then Julie, who is our Flatlanders administrator. Did you guys even know we have an employee? Flatlanders has an employee. Her name is Julie, and she's going to talk a little bit with us about statistics and trivia and, like, fun things she's learned about Flatlanders. But if you know Julie at all, statistics and data can be made very fun if you're Julie, and she will show you how she does that. She's worked at Flats for about a year and a half. And then we'll have, like, a prayer time with a bit of a Flatlanders focus. Does that sound okay? Yeah? You're all with me? So what is Flatlanders Inn? I can't hardly even touch that in a few minutes that I have this morning. But on a very basic level, it's a couple of things. It's many things, but here's a couple of things that stand out. Transitional housing and intentional community. That's two things that Flatlanders is. So we offer transitional housing upstairs on the second and third floor. And that means that people who are experiencing housing challenges, might be at risk of homelessness, might be just unsure about where they're going to stay and what's going to happen with their housing, they are welcome and they apply to live in Flatlanders. And the interesting thing is that we say things about having housing challenges, and sometimes we don't realize how easy that could apply to any of us, right? It's not only a certain kind of people or a certain kind of income or a certain kind of... There's no categories for who becomes at risk of homelessness. Things like illness, things like job loss, that can happen to any of us. And so being in a place where your housing is unstable and uncertain can happen to any of us. And so folks who are in a situation like that can apply to live at Flatlanders. So we get referrals from all over the city, and transitional housing is available to individuals, to couples, to people with kids, to families, anybody who can apply, and depending on our availability in our space, we will look at any application that comes to us. And being an intentional community, that's the second thing I said, means that we're committed to doing life together, to being something like a family to each other. And we all come from families, and none of our families look the same or act the same. And so Flatlanders can fit into that category of a way that a people come together and support each other in a family-like way. We share space, we share food, we share cleaning responsibilities and caring for our home. We share our burdens, we share our lives, we share our joys, we share our new jobs, our exams that we pass or fail. we share everything, and we try to be helpful in each other's lives. So not only is Flatlanders transitional housing and intentional community, but it's also part of this place, part of WCV. The ideas and vision that became Flatlanders were dreamed up here by people in this space, wanting to reach out, to be involved in the larger community, to know what God's idea of home is and look to create that in the community. Wanting to build relationships, wanting to be engaged with the neighborhood around here. So WCV really is the, what do you call that? Sponsor, impetus, thing, grower of what and who Flatlanders is. I think something that came to my mind, maybe it was even one time when I was praying, who knows, but I've had this vision in my head of a tree growing right here, about here, in this place, right in the middle of our gathering, and reaching up into, like, you know how trees grow upwards, a lot of them? Grown upwards from this place into the floors that became Flatlanders, and into the rest of the building. And all trees produce fruit, right? And Flatlanders is one of the fruits of this place, of this space, of this gathering. Of what happens when this community comes together and worships together and talks to God collectively. Things grow from that. That produces fruit, and Flatlanders is one of those fruits. We can house up to 32 people, but we usually have somewhere between 18 and 25. Some people live in something that's more like a dorm where they might share a bathroom with one or two other people, and some people have something that looks a little bit more like an apartment. So there's different kinds of housing because different kinds of people apply to live in Flatlanders. So that's just a little sketch, a little like thumbnail sketch of what and who Flatlanders is. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about our name. Do you guys know where Flatlanders, the name, comes from? No, even Jason is not, he's no, okay. I thought Jason knew everything. So flatland is an expression of who we hope to be. It's a place of ground that's leveled. It's a place of mutuality. So here's some words from Isaiah 40, and I think they say something about what Flatlanders hopes to be. Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills. See that in your head, guys. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills. It's kind of flat. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. So these are some good words, and they are the origins of our name, Flatlanders. Like I said, they come from Isaiah 40. And that those ideas of leveling, smoothing out the rough places in our world, in ourselves, clearing the way for good relationships. We all have things within us that stand in the way of good relationships. And so helping to do that together, that way clearing, that getting rid of the debris and the barriers that can prevent us from having whole relationships, healthy relationships, strong relationships, long relationships. That's part of what Flatlanders is about. That's why we're here. That's what means something to us. So it's a way of recognizing that being human and being well requires each other. And so that's kind of what we try, and we fail a lot, but we try to be a boat in Flatlanders. So every effort like this needs leadership, and Flatlanders is no exception. We have leaders. Our leaders provide vision and oversight to Flatlanders, and the reason I'm drawing attention to this right now is because our leadership team is growing, and we always want to draw attention to that because we want the people of this community, WCV, to know who the people of Flatlanders are and who the leaders of Flatlanders are. So I want to introduce Laura. Because she is just about to, you can come up, Laura. She's about to embark on a year of exploring what it looks like to be a leader in Flatlanders. And that's always how we sort of, new leaders come to us. Laura's lived at Flatlanders for 3 years. This is her. I'm going to say a bit more before I pass the mic to her for a second. She came to us 2 years out of high school, so she was pretty young, and she's been offering herself to Flatlanders and to this neighborhood and to this church for the last 3 years. Two and a half. One of the things that's important about becoming a leader at Flatlanders is that leadership is something that people are exercising before they ever have a name, leader. Before a title of leader is ever given to someone, it's kind of evident that they're already doing it. And that totally describes Laura, that before we ever invited her to think about or she ever indicated an interest in being a leader, a member of our leadership team, leadership was already happening. She was already being somebody who acted and took responsibility in the Flatlanders community. So she has to go upstairs to the, she's going upstairs to do some sharing in the gathering upstairs, which is often where I am, by the way, if some of you don't know me. So before she runs up there, I wanted to ask her just one question. Are you ready? She knows the question, just so you guys know. It's not a surprise. We talked about it because, you know, we're neighbors. We talked about it through the wall between our rooms. No, I actually left my room and went to hers. So Laura, what is it about Flatlanders that has encouraged you to keep living here and then to think about being a leader here? What makes you stay?
What makes me stay? I haven't teached math, but I am very hoarse as well. I'm cold. But what makes me stay other than chains? No, they don't chain me there. But I think Kelly touched on it already, so I won't talk a lot. But since pretty much as soon as I entered the doors as an intern, there was a sense of family. And family is something that is very important to me, very close to my heart. And so for me to leave my family to come here hasn't been so hard because it has been a family. And so it is a very loving, supporting, dysfunctional family. But it is good. It isn't easy, but it is good. And so I think that keeps me staying because, yeah, like your family, it's hard to leave. So, yeah, that's me, and I'm going to run off. So thanks for listening.
So I've always thought that the best way to learn about something or to get to know something better is through stories. And I don't have time to tell you lots of stories myself, but hopefully in everything that happens throughout this morning, you'll hear a lot of the stories of Flatlanders. I'm going to tell you a story about a guy named Ray. And a lot of you remember Ray. We recently said goodbye to him, Ray Funk. Ray, say goodbye to Lo. You're going? Oh. Yeah. Okay.
I forgive people, but I want to show you something.
Okay. Lawrence, can I just... Can I tell you guys something about Lawrence? Do you know that Lawrence is one of the artists from this community? And if you were to go upstairs in Flatlanders, you would see several of Lawrence's pieces proudly framed and hanging on the wall because you're
one of
us.
I'm one of Canada's Woodlands Group of Seven and Native Art.
Yeah. Lawrence,
I've been doing this for so many years.
Would it be okay, Lawrence, because some people are waiting to come up. I bet you there's lots of people, and I'm one of them. If you're going to hang around until after church,
sure.
I want to see your art.
Okay, and you know
guys,
what?
If you're...
I love a lot of you, but I also believe in forgiveness.
That's good.
Because, you know, someone said something to me last week, and I forgive that person.
Good. So...
And I just talked to my
You talked
friend,
to Andy about it?
I talked to Andy. And thank you, Andy.
Yeah.
You talked about forgiveness. Right?
Yeah.
And
so
that's the way God works.
Would it be?
God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah, he does. I'm really glad you're here, Lawrence. Would it be okay if we looked at your art after?
Sure.
A few of you.
And, you know, sometimes I feel like I want to cry.
Yeah, I can see that right now. You do. Yeah. Are you going to be okay? Maybe somebody could come and sit with you while you sit over here and wait to show us
but
your
I'd
art in a bit.
Talk to him.
You'd rather maybe go sit near Andy. Yeah.
Because I knew Andy for a minute.
Yeah. So guys, that's Lawrence Beaulieu, and lots of times when you see art in community spaces, like I've seen Lawrence's art in doctor's offices, all over the place, and now you know, that's Lawrence. Yeah, yeah, he's got his art all over the place. So I wanted to tell you guys a story about Ray, and Ray is somebody that we said goodbye to a couple of months ago, and his picture's hanging in the hallway over there. I'm pretty sure it's still hanging there. And Ray never lived in Flatlanders, but he was an important part of our community. And Ray lived in both buildings on the corner of Jarvis and Main, on the east side of Jarvis and Main. There's apartment buildings on both sides of that corner. And Ray lived in both of those. First in the apartments on the north corner of Jarvis and Main, and then in the public housing on the south corner of Jarvis and Main. And but more than those places being home to him, they were his home, they were where he slept at night, but I think this church was really his home in lots of ways, and the people of this place and the relationships in this place were a really important home to Ray. He had a lot of friendships here. Ray had suffered a brain injury a long time ago, many years ago, before he ever came around the Vineyard or Flatlanders. And as a result of that, he often didn't interact with the world in ways that you would expect, that you would, you know, be familiar with from your other kinds of social interactions. He often said or did things that were kind of inappropriate. But the truth about Ray is that he was really, really close to God. And have you guys ever noticed that God seems to show up in locations of human injustice? That seems to be a preferred dwelling place of God. I don't know if you guys have ever noticed that. And Ray's life was an example of human injustice in so many ways. In so many ways, human people and human relationships failed Ray. And so God was very near to him, and he was very near to God. And one of his favorite things on a Sunday morning was to be offered this microphone, be able to hold it and pray for us and talk to God on our behalf on a Sunday morning. And so because this place, the Vineyard, was one of Ray's safe places, Flatlanders, by extension, became another one of his safe, homey kinds of places. So Ray had lots of cups of coffee, lots of meals at Flatlanders. There was times when he would come every week for a regular meal. There was times when he would come more than that for a regular meal. There's lots of ways that he was a very vibrant and important and even daily at times part of our community life. For a while, he even came and had a shower every week at Flatlanders. And every year at actually about this time of year, we would celebrate Ray's birthday. So one of us would figure out a way to get his favorite meal, which was always pork chops or ribs, and a cake, which he wouldn't eat because he didn't like sweet things, and invite a bunch of people from this community to come to Flatlanders and have a birthday party for Ray. And the funny thing is that when he died, we learned that he was probably born in August. He thought he was born in February, so that's when we celebrated his birthday. Flatlanders was a place for someone who lived across the street to become welcomed and known and seen on a pretty regular basis. Everybody who moved into Flatlanders, by virtue of being part of the community, got to know Ray and his quirks and the fact that he liked his coffee black, and he would drink cup after cup after cup if you invited him to. And even though Ray was often angry and inappropriate at first, he would find his way into almost everybody who moved into Flatlanders' heart, no matter who they were, no matter where they came from. And lots of people found their way into his heart. He carried us, all the people of this place, people of Flatlanders, he carried us with him. And it's a beautiful thing to have watched, and I'm really sad, and I really miss him. But I chose to share this story because it says something about the heart of what Flatlanders is and what kind of home we are. In Flatlanders, we want to be doing the work of the kingdom of God. We want to follow Jesus with our whole lives. We want to be firmly rooted in this neighborhood. We want to be present to each other and to our neighbors. And we do that in varying degrees, right? We do that. Sometimes it feels like we don't do it very well. Sometimes it feels like we're really present to each other and we really know what's going on. We offer to pray for each other. We offer to do practical things for each other. We are not an exclusively Christian community, but Flatlanders is rooted in this place and rooted in an understanding that we are there to follow Jesus in a way that makes sense to us. So that's just a little story about, to give you a little bit more of a picture of what kind of place Flatlanders is. I hope it fills in some of the questions or thoughts that you have in your mind about what kind of place this is that exists upstairs in this building. So I'm going to bring up Adam, and he agreed to let me interview him about his experience as a Flatlanders community member. Adam and his wife Nicole have spent the last year on the same exploration track of leadership that Laura is about to start, and Adam has lived in Flatlanders for a year and a half with his wife Nicole. That's Nicole right there. And Nicole, you lived in Flatlanders for 2 or 3 years before that? Three years before you moved in with your husband. So as a single person, Nicole lived in Flatlanders for a few years, and then she got married and brought her husband with her. So like Laura, who was up here a minute ago, Nicole came 1 year out of high school and has just kind of stuck around. We've had lots of people come and stay with us for short periods of time. Not everybody stays, but Nicole and Laura are two that have. You know, another one who has that same story is Jeff Layton, where he just kind of came as a really, really young guy, not long out of high school, and now he lives in Flatlanders with his wife and two kids. So the purpose of me and Adam having this talk, and I don't know, Adam, can you grab one of the mics maybe so you have your own? We thought, well, we want to give everybody who's listening a sense of an actual, like someone's actual experience of living in Flatlanders. So it's about generating that awareness that I've been talking about, what this morning is about. And but it's kind of more than that. Like, when I asked Adam, so why are we doing this? Because we practiced earlier this week. You know, I said, why are we talking to people? What are we doing? And he said, well, like, it's, we want to inspire people towards the possibilities. This thing that we're doing by living together upstairs feels really weird to lots of people, feels really different, feels really uncommon, but it's actually possibilities that we're up here talking about, not only so that you have awareness and you can pray for us, because we want to inspire you. These are possibilities that are available to all of us to live in creative ways, whatever God is calling us to. So that's part of why Adam wanted to share this morning. And those are that's my re-saying of words he said. Yeah? Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna do this interview thing. So Adam, I'm calling up my interviewer persona, did you notice? So I wanted, when we talked the other night, I just said, like, imagine your 8-year-old self. We're going way back to when Adam was like a young kid. Tell us something about 8-year-old Adam.
Okay. 8-year-old Adam, you would have probably found him in the sandbox or watching cartoons. Maybe peeing his pants, I don't know.
Your mom's here, is that true? Yeah.
So yeah, that's 8-year-old Adam.
In the sandbox.
Yep.
So I'm just imagining you as this 8-year-old kid playing in the sandbox. You've got your, like, Tonka, you know, you've got your digger toys and all this kind of stuff. And I'm trying to imagine what kind of life you, at that age, or even as you got older, imagined for yourself.
Well, as I got older, like probably around 13 years old, my dream would have been to become pilot. And I guess my future would have consisted of getting married, having kids, having a house, just having a normal life, I guess.
A normal life, yeah.
Kind of the American dream, I guess, if
American
you
know. Dream, yeah. So some things along the way have changed that a little bit for you, that, like, that dream of that normal life, which is great, it kind of, like, shifted around a bit. At least it has so far. It may go back to that. But what were some of the things that contributed to that changing?
Well, this would have been 4 or 5 years ago. I went on out of town, and a lot of my experiences on out of town changed me as a person and changed basically what I thought my future would be.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Are people here familiar with that? Out of Town is a program. It's at Canadian Mennonite University, and it's a 1 year. You go on a journey with a number of other people to either Africa or Guatemala. Yeah, South Africa, French Africa, or Guatemala are the three places.
Yep.
So it's a 1 year program that takes young people on a journey to show them different ways of being, different places in the world. Yeah. So Out of Town planted some seeds in your life. What happened?
Well, first and foremost, I met my wife on Out of Town, so that was a big thing. A lot of the aspects of Out of Town, like being in a tight-knit community of believers, was another big thing. It definitely changed me as a person, and it brought me closer to God, being around other believers all the time. Hmm. Another thing I'd say is just seeing communities in Guatemala and how they live their life, it definitely put an interest in me, living in community, and yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, you talked about how, like, you observed in Guatemala that everybody's lives were sort of integrated, bound up together, and they were really tight-knit.
Yeah.
And that was, like, an eye-opening.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And it definitely subconsciously prepared me for living at Flatlanders.
Yeah. What sort of stood out to me when we chatted about this the other night was you talked about how it's really easy to have a good life when you're living with other people. Like,
absolutely.
A good life is accessible.
Yeah.
When there's more people contributing towards it, kind of
totally.
Thing.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
So some of that, being on Out of Town, meeting Nicole, and then coming to, you guys were dating after Out of Town, you were back in Winnipeg, the program was over, and then you're going out with this girl who lives in this place.
Yeah.
And so all of those are like seeds along the way that sort of helped prepare you for where you are now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was wondering, like, what parts of living in community have you found the hardest?
One is, like, this sounds bad, but one is just, like, people in general. like, for example, people leave their dishes undone on the counter, and they sit there for days, and you feel frustrated because you want to do them because you want the place to be clean, but you also don't want to do them because you want someone else to do them. So, there's that. There's also, responsibilities are one thing. Like, at Flatlanders, you're expected to attend check-in, attend deep clean, attend house meeting. And those are all really good things, but there's just days where you really just want to sit in your room and not do those things. So those would be some hard things about Flatlanders, I guess. Pretty
Yeah, like the
things.
People stuff, and sometimes, like, the responsibilities that are just part of living in a community.
Yeah.
And having it function well. Participation is really important.
Totally.
And yeah, but those are hard. And I think most people who live in Flatlanders would say similar stuff about what's hard. So what are the best parts about living with other people?
Probably people and responsibilities. Yeah, like, when you're at Flatlanders, you're surrounded by 20 people, and you gain a lot of appreciation for having those people around you. And I mean, like, if you're having a bad day, you have like 7 different doors to go knock on and ask if someone will talk to you. So you have a lot of support there. And then also with the responsibilities, it's great just going to check in and getting to see how people's weeks were and like growing a relationship with those people. And yeah, deep clean,
mm-hmm.
house meeting, just staying in tune with what's going on in Flatlanders. Those mm-hmm. are good things.
So it's like two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Like, people and responsibilities have a lot of with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it can be taxing, it can be annoying, it can be frustrating, but people and responsibilities have a lot of benefit and joy with it when you actually engage.
Yep, absolutely.
Hmm. So that's a little bit about the journey that kind of prepared you to become a Flatlander. What about the journey that like you've been on as you've become acquainted more and more and started to move towards being like a leader, the stuff that's happened like since you met Nicole and were hanging out and you realized like, I'm doing a little bit more than just visiting my girlfriend here. Something else is happening. I guess my question, I should get to it. I lost my interviewer persona for a second. So as time went on, you were dating, but you weren't engaged yet. How did the sense of like, it would be not such a great idea to live in Flatlanders, which is kind of the idea that I think you guys had as your relationship was getting, yeah, you know, more and more long-term and more permanent and more committed. So you had this idea, it wouldn't be great to live in Flatlanders as newlyweds, and it progressed to, we're going to get married and move into Flatlanders right away.
Yeah, well, I guess the first thing would be that, well, for Nicole and me, the only thing we've ever experienced outside of living at home with our parents is living in a community like Flatlanders. So I think that was big because we didn't really know anything else. What else? I'm just going to look at these notes here.
Okay, that's a good idea. That's why they're there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like a lot of people didn't understand Flatlanders, and at times it was hard to look past that and just like agree with them, I guess, because it is hard to understand Flatlanders if you don't commit yourself to Flatlanders. So it was just a matter of getting over that and knowing that we've committed a lot of our life already to Flatlanders, mm-hmm, and that, yeah.
So you were experiencing people who were saying like, oh man, don't do that, guys. That would not be a good idea. And you were realizing that they were coming from a place of not really having a deep sense of what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's a misunderstanding that you've encountered as people have like known that you live in this place and that you're a leader there?
I get a lot of my friends or family members asking me, so how's your job going at Flatlanders?
Right.
And it's frustrating because it's not a job, it's a lifestyle. It's,
yeah,
we choose to be here. We're not being paid to live with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and that's a true thing. Like as leaders in Flatlanders, we've chosen to, you know, give ourselves to helping this vision stay alive and help Flatlanders keep going. And a lot of people, because we all do have jobs outside of Flatlanders, and that's a true thing for my life too, is that people are like, you know, they think that we must be either getting paid or there must be some sort of, that it's some kind of responsibilities. And there are responsibilities, but it's not a job per se.
Right.
Yeah. What about the things you've learned about leadership in the year you spent on the leadership team so far?
Leadership's been challenging. It's been very good for myself, though. It's helped me grow as a leader, obviously, being in leadership. It's definitely made me a more confident person. Like, before I was on leadership, I was not quiet, but whenever things got serious and it was time to talk about stuff, I'd usually just sit back and keep my mouth shut and not share. So I've definitely learned to value my opinion and share it and not worry if it's wrong or right or bad or,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Just, so it's confidence building.
Yeah.
You've just grown, definitely, grown up, grown.
Yep, yeah. Growing up. That's, yeah, a good way to put it.
Yeah. We're all growing up. Yeah. So last question, what are, as you like think about your commitment and what you've learned and how you've grown, what are your hopes for Flatlanders? What do you, Adam, when you think about this tree that grew up and, you know, your hopes for this place?
Yeah. My hopes for Flatlanders is that it just continues to grow. Like, I'd like to see it become big. Like, maybe not necessarily Flatlanders itself, but just seeing more communities like this pop up around the city and around the country and around the world. Another thing is our social enterprise that we've been working on. It's our baby, and it's something that I'd like to see grow and help, mm-hmm, Flatlanders.
Yeah. So you've got vision.
Yeah.
And you've got hope. Right before you left my place the other night when we were talking about this, you said this really passionate thing. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah. yeah, I think that that everyone should live like this.
In some way.
I think it's beneficial to yourself. It's beneficial to others. And I honestly think it would make the world a better place if
yeah. people did this. So when you say like this, you mean less walls, more yep. connection, giving of ourselves to each other,
absolutely.
all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Okay, thanks, Adam.
No problem.
So we're going to go to the Flats Kids video, which the Williams put together, and it's really great. So we're going to watch these kids be very, very cute. And then, Julie, you're going to come up after that.
This is Davin. Davin, why did we move to Flatlanders?
Because God sent us here. He really wanted us to come here because this is a great place. I like it. I like it a lot. And also because we have a bigger life, we have a bigger space. Our life keeps moving on. And like probably next year and the next 5 years we will move again.
Okay, so what do you like about Flatlanders?
That we have like bigger life, bigger space.
What else do you like?
That I have a TV in my room. And also...
That's pretty cool, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do you not like about Flatlanders?
That, just kids, they're like a little, sometimes they can be like out of control. They can be like, my hair can go crazy.
Okay.
And like, yeah.
So do you have anything else you want to say?
Well, and I can have big posters, but our old house, we had another house, and we moved here to our church, and it's great. I love it.
Okay, so do you want to say bye?
Bye.
Okay, bye.
See you next time.
Bye, Jab. Hi, everyone. This is Jaden.
Hi.
And Jaden is going to tell us what she likes about living at Flatlanders.
I like meeting new people when they come for community meal. And how I have the art space and the big room and the high ceilings.
How high are the ceilings?
They're pretty high.
They sure are. What's hard for you, Jaden, about living at Flatlanders?
Leaving my pets because they're not allowed to stay here, so we had to give them away. But they're not far, so we can still see them. And leaving my house was pretty hard, too.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to share about Flatlanders?
Yeah, I really like cooking with my cooking team, so thumbs up to my cooking team.
That's great. Okay, thank you, Jaden.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
James, we just want to know what it's like living at Flatlanders. What do you like about it here?
Deep clean and riding a scooter.
Deep clean and riding your scooter?
And riding my bike.
Oh, and you are really good at that, aren't you? Do you like to go fast or slow?
Fast.
Yeah? Is there anything that's hard about it here?
No.
No, it's just good?
Yeah.
How do you feel about community meals?
Good.
Yeah? What's your favorite deep clean job?
I don't get any deep clean jobs.
Oh, are you just a good helper? Do you sometimes help with the bathrooms? No? What about cooking pancakes? Do you like to play with Davin and Kai? Yeah? What's your favorite game? You're a really good hockey player. Yeah. Okay, do you want to say goodbye to everyone?
Bye.
Bye.
Kai?
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
So you're going to tell us what you like about living at Flatlanders. Mm-hmm. You want to start?
Okay.
Great.
I like that, well, I can play Minecraft with other people because my friend Adam just got Minecraft for his Xbox, so I'm going to think about going there soon and playing with him.
So you have some cool new friends?
And we have this big, big room to play a lot of soccer and floor hockey.
That sounds great. So what's hard about living at Flatlanders?
Well, it's hard to play with, like, littler kids than me because there's a few littler kids here. Because it's kind of hard when they're, like, always bugging you. But they're still fun to play with.
Yeah? Mm. Do you have anything else to say?
No, I don't really.
No? What do you do on Thursday nights?
I go upstairs to the third floor and do cooking team.
And do you like it?
Mm-hmm.
Have you learned to make any new stuff?
I've learned to make stuffed peppers.
Nice. Okay, Kai, thanks a lot. Can you say goodbye?
Bye.
Is that? Me. Yeah. Do you live at Flatlanders? Yeah, do you like living here? Claire, what's your favorite part about Flatlanders? Yeah. Do you have a baby brother? What's your baby brother's name?
Tourmanier.
Do you play with James?
Uh-huh.
And Jaden?
Yeah.
And Davin?
Yeah.
And Kai?
No.
No? No Kai?
No.
Yeah? Do you like living here with your mom?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you have toys?
Yeah.
And do you like to do laundry with your mom?
Yeah.
Do you help her?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Do you eat food?
Yeah.
What's your favorite food?
Soup.
Soup? Yeah. Great, Claire. Can you say bye to everyone? Can you say bye?
Bye.
Good job.
It's on. That's on. The really funny thing about that video is the first one, Davin, talking about like how it's hard sometimes when everybody goes crazy. I don't think anybody goes crazier than Davin. So Julie is our administrator at Flatlanders. She is. She tries to help keep, things organized and efficient and administered. And she's also our landlord. And so anybody who's interested in moving into Flatlanders or learning about Flatlanders, she's always the first person, first voice, first exposure to the possibility of being a Flatlander is Julie. So she's going to take away the show.
Okay, so like Kelly said, my name is Julie Kettle, and I am the self-professed administrator extraordinaire at Flatlanders, as well as the glorified landlord. And the glorified landlord piece is just that I will hunt you down for your rent, but when it comes to changing light bulbs or plunging toilets or anything like that, you're on your own. So part of what the work I do is a lot of work with numbers. So I do things like create budgets for the year, for the month, actual budgets, projected budgets, project budgets, and I decided to deviate from that a little bit and come up with flat stats, some statistical information to help you get more of a sense of Flatlanders. So we shall start off with a statistic of things overheard at Flatlanders. So zero, the number of times you'd ever thought you'd hear your housemate say, "Did I leave my placenta in your fridge?" True story. One, the number of years I've worked here, which coincidentally also marks the inauguration of the most blissful, inspired, divine, and glorious year that Flatlanders has ever seen. Two, Flatlanders freezers have housed such things as rotten ice cream, loose goose feet, and a bag full of frozen lint. And a dead mouse. 2.75 Flatlanders folks aren't quite potty trained. Now, the 0.75 is trying really hard to make it through the night. But please note, this number does not account for those living at Flatlanders that have accuracy problems, of which there was a point in Flatlanders history when sit-down peeing was a house rule. Eight. The number of years we have existed. Now, our next statistic. I just want to preface by saying there are unwanted tenants in our midst. That's Brendan Dvorak, one of the leaders of Flatlanders. But I'm talking about, I'm talking about the squeaky, sneaking, small-statured, garbage-feasting, nook-and-cranny dwellers that need to be ushered into the great beyond. So hence, we decreed Operation Rodent Roundup, and we have the record number of mouse kills goes to Jeffrey Layton with 9, with Ian and Adam falling behind with a measly 3 apiece. Gosh. Now, mice are one of the great foes and woes of Flatlanders, as well as one of the wins, our greatest agony and entertainment. During one of the great mouse plagues in Flatlanders history, there was a game called Hide the Dead Mouse in Really Interesting Places and See Who You Can Freak Out the Most. And the most creative or entertaining place that a dead mouse was discovered was in someone's cigarette package. Elizabeth I of England once decreed, "Fear not. We are of the nature of the lion and cannot descend to the destruction of mice and such small beasts. And in keeping with her noble example, we have continued to conquer the mice and the small beasts such as pigeons." And when I inquired as to the number of pigeons killed here, this was the response I got. So we have an undisclosed statistic. 23 fantastic people currently live here, and one curmudgeon. One curmudgeon. There are 24 beds of all different sizes, comfort levels, sheet cleanliness, and adventures. If you can go on, yeah, right there. So as you can see that there are some sky-high beds that the Laytons have built, and I maintain that they're really woodland tree dwellers, and there's definitely no sleepily stumbling out of bed in the morning for these folks. Now, 36 is a big statistical number at Flatlanders. It marks the number of steps between the second and third floor, the combined number of teeth of these cutie patooties that live at Flatlanders, the number of pairs of shoes that Brendan owns, and the number of injuries sustained from folks tripping over his shoes in the hallway. 39 is the number of cups of coffee consumed per day at Flatlanders. At least 80 folks have lived here over the years. And we've done at least 416 big grocery shops. Now, that number doesn't include the food that we received from Winnipeg Harvest. And Winnipeg Harvest is a donation-based program that is partnering with us to provide some groceries. And I would say that our partnership with Winnipeg Harvest has definitely forced our hand at very creative and gratitude-filled cooking. So, for instance, we have received such things as a crate full of pickled herring. And then there was the trimester of the mung beans. Flatlanders once received a ginormous bag of mung beans from Winnipeg Harvest and spent the next days, weeks, and months eating mung beans. Mung bean curry, mung bean soup, mung bean stew, mung bean stir fry, mung bean cookies, mung bean smoothies, anything that we could incorporate mung beans into. For months on end, we consumed like 5 lifetimes worth of mung beans. But the thing that mercifully ended the onslaught of the mung beans was the one glorious moment of the mice. Those wee heroes discovered the cupboard full of mung beans, and we were never more grateful for mouse excrement. Now, if I've given you the impression that Flatlanders folks are simply a bunch of lint hoarding, mouse murdering, mung bean munching weirdos, then you are absolutely correct. About a year ago, I was involved with Flatlanders Sunday. I was introduced and did an interview with Kelly. And one of the things that I said in this interview was, the only thing I love more than Harry Potter is intentional community. And after a year of working for and observing this community, that sentiment still holds true for me. But I would say that Flatlanders could do more in the magic department. Yes, I have a job here, but it's become so much more to me than that. I have experienced such a sense of welcome here and a sense of home and belonging. I have been welcomed into people's lives and stories, to share tea, to watch Harry Potter, to eat poached eggs, and to get to know the people that live here. And as a result, I have become affected by the people, by the vision of Flatlanders and the lived Jesusness of the space above us and the people there. And so I've been learning these new rhythms, these new ways of life that have kind of become grafted onto my own and onto how I live my own life. And so I've been thinking, as I've been learning about community economic development and social enterprise and what it means to show up and be present in a neighborhood. Another thing that has really marked this year is the shift in the leadership culture at Flatlanders. The leadership team has really been evolving, and we are figuring out how to be people who enact consensus model decision making. So we're figuring out how to make efficient, effective, creative, and collective decisions together. We are learning about the Enneagram, which is an ancient spiritual, like, energy personality system that was developed to help people understand things about themselves and how they relate to other people and what your greatest gifting is and some of your fears. And so we're learning about each other as we learn those things and figuring out, how do we create space to call each other into our fullness? How do we create ways to not live out of the parts of ourselves that feel really afraid and small? And we're learning about how to trust each other in more significant ways, so that way we as individuals can be launched into fuller versions of ourselves, and also so that Flatlanders can be. And it's been hard work. I think Adam said it has been a challenging season. But the thing that I have observed from the leadership team is a deep commitment to Flatlanders, a deep commitment to supporting and coming alongside the transitional members and wanting to celebrate with them and celebrate small steps forward and wanting to hold them and each other and ourselves accountable to doing the things we say we're going to do, and the choice to be people of radical hope. Over and over again, when challenges have come up or there's been tension, I've seen where members of the leadership team have decided to hold hope for themselves, for each other, and for this place. And it's been beautiful and such an honor to be a part of. And I would definitely say that all the leaders of this place are in for ginormous jewels in their crowns, or at least some really good high fives, which I task you all with giving them after the service. And then last of all, because I'm sure you're all wondering what 39 cups of coffee worked out to in a year, 14,235 cups of coffee consumed by Flatlanders, which coincidentally is also the amount of my springtime bonus, right? That's all. Thank you.
I told you that she can make statistics be anything but boring. So there you go, Julie. So now it's time for us to sort of wrap up Flatlander Sunday. And I had a brochure that I wanted to hold up. Here it is. On the back counter over there, we have these. These are brochures about Flatlanders. And anytime that you want more information, you want to give us a phone call, you want to know our website, anything like that, we have all those things. We want to hear from you if you have questions or if you want to learn more about Flatlanders. So please pick up one of those, which coincidentally is made by Julie. In wrapping up, I wanted to invite us to pray for Flatlanders together. At the end of our services here at the Vineyard, we always have a ministry time. And so as you guys are, ending the service and thinking about what might have struck you, whatever ways are meaningful for you, we invite you to reflect a little bit on this morning before you go to whatever the next thing is for you. Maybe you want to pray together with some people. Maybe you want to just sit quietly and write something down. Maybe you want to just reflect on your own. Maybe instead of praying with some people, you want to talk a little bit about what struck you. Anything of those things is an okay thing to do in the next few minutes. And as we go into that time, I just wanted to leave you with some words that I found this week. I did a little bit of art making this week, and I was digging around in a box of art supplies, and I found something. I found this note scribbled, probably wrote it about 4 years ago, and it came from some prayers of Flatlanders that I think I was saying and some other people were saying around that time. And so these are the words, and so I just invite you to listen to these words as we go into our ministry time. Their words about Flatlanders' hopes. Transparent, not protecting. Forming, not finished. Healing, not hiding. Family, not program. Care, not cure. Gentle, not frantic. Questioning, not conforming. Fragile, not concrete. A sign of hope, not the solution. Permanent, not a whim. Focused on faithfulness rather than effectiveness. I think I'll say them again. Transparent, not protecting. Forming, not finished. Healing, not hiding. Family, not program. Care, not cure. Gentle, not frantic. Questioners, not conformers. Fragile, not concrete. A sign of hope, not the solution. Permanent, not a whim. Focused on faithfulness rather than effectiveness. So those are some words that I found scribbled on a little note just this week, and I thought it was timely to find them tucked in a little corner of a box. So invite you to pray for each other, for us, to think on what it is from this morning that struck you, what you would like to think about a little more and let settle in you. Yeah, thanks for listening.